At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But I hate going to the gym and just looking dumb. I have gym anxiety.
I feel like everyone has to go through that. It's like a teen going through their awkward phase, like... Or a guy who's growing out his hair who wants to get like braids. He has to have like an awkward hair. Everyone has an awkward phase. The gym itself is not excluded from that. Oh my God.
All right, everybody. We're here to give a lesson.
Wait, what? No, okay. It does feel weird kind of wearing kameez on here.
I've worn a bias.
I was peer pressured into this, okay, guys?
No. What actually happened was... The door was unlocked, so I let myself in.
Yeah.
And then Amir walks out of this room into the living room, and he's like, oh, you're wearing an abaya? Oh, if I had known, I would have worn my kameez. And I was like, yeah. or thobe. Or
not like, you know, we record this from my house where I can get a kameez just easily.
So I was like, don't wear a white one because it didn't look too formal. Do you have like a black one? He's like, yeah.
And then he pulls out I should have said no. Oh my God. Okay.
It's all good. It fits the vibes that Ramadan vibes. It's also like.
Now we're setting the expectations high.
For what?
Just to let them down. What? This ain't going to be like some lesson or whatever.
It's not going to be an Islamic lesson. I'll be honest with you guys.
What?
Like, I feel like in order to give a more deen focused episode, we would actually have to like study, right? Like, no one just. I mean, unless, mashallah, you're gifted and you're knowledgeable, even scholars have to review their knowledge. The deen. They have to review.
Their knowledge on the deen?
Yeah, they have to review their notes and books and hadith and Quran verses in order to actually give lessons. No one can just, it would be very irresponsible if we just talked for the sake of talking. And we're not trying to do that, so.
Exactly. Welcome back, guys, to the Cousin
Connection
Podcast.
I don't know. To me, the audio sounds a little different. It sounds more crisp.
Yeah, because like it's already all leveled out for podcasting. This is we're testing out a new system today for recording. So, if this episode doesn't come out, you know that I failed. Actually, you won't know technically. You'll know next week after. But yeah, we're trying some new stuff out here. You know, in the middle of Ramadan, we're like, you know what? I ain't got nothing better to do with my time right now except for. Outside of reviewing, of course, because, you know, we're doing that, too. So you fall down those rabbit holes. You're like, oh, what can we do to upgrade gear, right? So, yeah, I'm working with a Zoom Pod. I think it's called Zoom Pod Track 4 or something like that. So if you're looking into getting a podcast or making a podcast and you have a little bit of a bigger budget because this is, you know, around $200 or something.
Pretty penny.
Yeah, pretty penny. But it has a lot of features and it's almost geared towards podcasters. Mm. So, yeah, we'll see how this turns out in... the next podcast when y'all hear it. But yeah,
before we get into this episode,
what,
make sure you hit that subscribe button.
Oh yes,
because we are on the road to 10k on YouTube. We've hit 10k on TikTok. We're on the road to 10k on Instagram. I feel like it's so much harder to actually foster, or not foster, but like to gain loyal followers on YouTube and TikTok, on Instagram, sorry. And that's fine, you know, you guys are making us work for it, and we will.
Yeah, you know.
It's not just a blind follow, it's all good.
Exactly, and especially with Ramadan in, you know, the clips might be a little more sparse, because, you know.
You know what I realized?
You can't be as creative when you're hungry. What?
I feel like that's when you're the most creative.
Huh? That's like metaphorically hungry. You're hungry for it, but like when you're actually hungry.
Yeah.
Like, being creative is not really... in the book. Like, you can be, but I just feel like my creative juices are more fueled by how I eat. Mm. I don't know.
I could see that. I could see that. I was going to say, I realized also that we haven't done a TikTok live in such a long time.
I know.
So I kind of feel bad because I feel like we haven't connected with our people, with our cousins mm-hmm. online mm-hmm. in a hot minute. But I also, like, I've thought about it mm-hmm. and I'm like,
what?
Is it going to be productive if we even do a TikTok live? Like, I'd rather just save it till after.
Oh, yeah. It's probably, you know, Ramadan. It's probably very rare that we're going to have a Ramadan live. Yeah. Especially because, like, around the times that we were doing lives is now, like, the time that's usually for
Iftar
or so.
Or prepping iftar.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm sure everybody else is busy with their, you know, doing what they need to do with whatever their goals are for Ramadan anyways.
Facts.
Yeah. So, you know what? We'll let you guys, you know, take that time that you would be watching us live to do something a little bit more productive. Not saying that what we're doing is not productive. But, you know, this is a reality situation. I'm just saying, okay? True. Also, last week I was tripping.
Why?
Like, you know how I said, you know, this Ramadan, I don't know, there's no energy, whatever?
Yeah.
Honestly, it was just the first week. That's all it was. Like, after that, I felt perfectly fine. I, like, got back into the rhythm, and now, like, I think your body just needs time to adjust to it. You know, now we're getting older, okay, guys? Our bodies can't adjust to such drastic changes in our daily habits as they used to.
I don't think it was just that, though, actually. What? So, like, from our last episode, mm-hmm. I was reading through the comments. Also, if you've been commenting on our content in the last, like, 2-3 weeks,
yeah,
forgive me for not responding. I promise
forgive
you.
Us, okay?
We're trying. We're struggling a little bit, mm-hmm. but I promise. Those of you that I didn't respond to, you're going to be highlighted now today on this episode.
Exactly.
One of the reasons why we were struggling so much is also because we had daylight savings like 2 days before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
That like threw off our whole, like, and you would think like just adjusting the time by 1 hour mm-hmm. wouldn't have such a big impact, but it does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's why we were like, so daylight messed up. And,
yeah, all of that. Combined, I think mm-hmm. of why like it took our body a little bit more time to adjust to it.
Yeah.
But this week I've been like perfectly fine. I've been going to the gym more often. I've been able to even do like, typically they say not to do this. They say like do like 60 to 70% of what you would normally do, maybe even 50%. But I'm still able to do like 100% of what I used to do in mm-hmm. the gym. Mm-hmm. Of course, like the sets maybe cut by one or two or something like that. But when it comes to the weights, basically the same.
I did the opposite.
What?
I lessened my weights but upped my reps.
You lessened your weights but up your reps? Yeah. But then essentially you're just doing the same thing. It's all volume at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, but I also like between working out like right after suhoor mm-hmm. versus like after iftar, I think I found my time where I actually prefer working out, which is like around like 9-10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm employed.
Oh yeah.
That's not unfortunate. It's just like 9-10 a.m. is like peak time for meetings. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm gonna start like the days that I'm working from home, scheduling like my lunch break just in the morning.
Yeah, because you did that to yourself technically. You're the one who scheduled those to begin with.
Some of them yes, some of yeah. them no.
Oh, so, okay.
Like, some of them I have no control over when they're scheduled. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna just start booking my own lunch breaks and then working out, showering, and then continuing my work day. Because
how long break lunch breaks do you guys get?
An hour.
Only in an hour you can do all of that?
I'll do like, I'm not doing an intense workout. I'm doing a 30-minute workout.
Yeah.
Maybe 40 if I really want
to
like.
30 to 40 minutes?
Well, but that's only my weightlifting part. And then I do like a 30-minute
Is that all
walk.
At home?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay,
so
you know what?
No
yeah.
travel time factored in.
I guess you could do that. And I don't know what it is during Ramadan, like, even for me, mm-hmm. the workouts that used to take me like an hour and 15 minutes sometimes, now I can get them done like 30, 40 minutes.
You know what's weird?
What?
Do you not take as many breaks as you normally would?
Yeah, that's
okay,
what it is.
I was like, yo, am I Hulk? Like,
no, I don't know. Maybe it's the barakah of Ramadan. But like, you can literally finish a hard set, like mm-hmm. a set that normally I would have to wait 3-4 minutes after doing, and I would be starting a new set in another minute.
Yeah,
it's
like,
weird.
I would literally have sweat like dripping into my eyeballs. Yeah. TMI at this point. And the only break I take is to just like literally go wash my face real quick and come back, continue the workout. Like, so I love working out at home because if I was in the gym doing this, I need to keep going to the gym. but you know, like it's convenient and when I'm ready to like up my weights, not this week, maybe next week, but when I'm ready to do it, at least I have all the equipment at home.
Do you have the weights to be able to increase them? Yeah. Oh, you have that twist thing, the one that like increases whatever. Okay. You're not going to go back to the gym anymore? Like an actual established gym?
I think once I have like a very good routine and I'm not like clueless and I can work out by myself without the need of like a coach or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I'll go to the gym. But I hate going to the gym and just looking dumb. I don't like, I have gym anxiety.
I feel like everyone has to go through that. It's like a teen going through their awkward phase. Like, you just have to do it. You have to like just go through it. Or a guy who's growing out his hair who wants to get like braids. He has to get like awkward hair. Everyone has an awkward phase. The gym itself is not excluded from that. It has an awkward phase.
I know. Maybe it's because I just don't like the gym itself. Like that specific gym.
You need a gym partner. That's what it is.
That too. And I don't have one.
Is there no one? No, you know what?
Literally no one.
Inshallah, actually, guys, pray for Sarah to get a husband who can be her new gym partner as well.
Yeah, but we wouldn't be doing the same workouts anyways.
You could, honestly, you could be. Why not? Like, I don't know what workouts he might have, inshallah,
that's
right?
That's true.
He might not even be a gym person. What?
If I'm a gym person?
Yeah.
He has to be a gym person.
Are you a gym person, though, if you don't actually go to
a
gym?
I'm a home workout person.
Exactly. Home workouts, it's a whole different sport. It's a whole different league.
But do you know, it takes so much more discipline. Because
You know what?
I could literally just be like, yo, F this. I'm not working out.
You know what? Yeah, during COVID, that was a big thing. Like, just losing your motivation because, like, there's a certain mentality when you go into a gym. Like, you are going to a place specifically to do this thing, right? When you're at home.
Right.
You usually are there to relax. You're usually there. And it's actually something that affects a lot of people who work from home, right? Mm. Like, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but there's a guy who's like, yeah, I realized just working from home, it like, you're in a weird space where you don't know when to stop working and when to start. And even starting working, like, you get very loosey-goosey with your schedule. And then it just starts to affect the rest of your life and relationships.
Yep.
So what he started doing is in the morning, he'll wake up. And he'll get dressed, like, for going to work.
Oh,
yeah. And he'll be dressed for work during the day. And then what he'll do at the end of the day is he'll leave the house. While he's still dressed, he'll leave the house, take, like, a 20, maybe 15-minute or 20, 30-minute walk, and then come back. And that was almost like his commute. And then he would, like, it would get him into this headspace of, like, okay, now he's changing, and he's no longer working. He's not at work anymore.
That's interesting.
It's setting boundaries, right? You're setting your own boundaries, essentially.
No, I get that. I think one thing that I like is that where I work is not in the same place that I sleep. Like, I have two separate rooms. My office is in one room. So that kind of helps.
Mm-hmm. That guy also was working in the same room that he slept in, right? So
see, I know a lot of people were like working in bed during COVID. Never. I would rather like... Mm-hmm. If you're sick, don't work in bed. But like, and I understand some people just don't have the space for it. Yeah. Like, I get that aspect of it. But like, go work in the kitchen or like literally anywhere else. But
That's actually a thing that I was thinking of. Like, in the future, let's say I when I move out and I'm getting an apartment like with my future wife, inshallah, then like if we're both working from home, does that mean you have to get a 3-bedroom apartment? How does that work? Because now you're dealing... Because, like, I know maybe you can make, like, an office in the living room, but then do you really want your office to be in the same place that you just like to relax? Because that same issue might come up where you're like, the same place where I relax is a place where I'm most stressed as well.
Well, what people do is, like, if you get, like, a 2-bedroom, there's, like, a den usually. Sometimes there's a den. It might not have doors, but, like, that could be your designated, like, workspace, and you can have your desk there.
That's for one person.
Yeah, and then the second bedroom.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know, I don't know, like...
But I'm sure that's, like, something a lot of people think about nowadays,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think about it all. I'm like, I want to move out, but then I'm like, man, when will I ever have, like, this many rooms and this much closet space and...
Like, space is already limited in the city.
I know. So... Like, the thing is, I don't know if you keep getting, like, the Toronto realtors on TikTok.
No.
So I keep getting like real estate. I'm like, this is a sign. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh yeah, this place looks pretty good. $3 million, $2 mm-hmm. million, dollars, $5 million. I'm like, who is buying this? Mm-hmm. Who can afford this? Like, I don't understand. I don't know. Like, I thought by now the housing crisis would have gotten a little bit better, but yeah. Unfortunately it has not. So it's kind of depressing to think about. And then it makes me wonder, like, and I feel like we have this conversation every like mm-hmm. 2 months. Do I really want to stay here?
I know. It's everybody. I think everyone in Toronto that's a millennial or younger yeah. has that same thought of like, what's the point of even staying here? Like, you saw the weather this week. Literally, guys, okay.
Yeah.
We were so confident that like we were done with winter.
I was ready to pack my jacket yeah, away.
Literally, my dad, like, we have salt at the front of the house just in case when it snows. He packed it away like 2 days ago or 3 days ago, something like that. He packed away being like, okay, we're done with this. We never have to worry about this again. Next day, snowstorm, like 10 15 centimeters snow. So much snow that like I was working from the office that day and they sent us home early.
Did they?
Yeah.
Dang.
And at first I thought they were tripping because in like my area, the area that I was working in, there wasn't much snow. But because of where I live, like it's more like lake effect snow area. When I got to my neighborhood, it was already like pretty deep to the point where when I got home and like I just sat there, I think I was supposed to go somewhere after for like iftar.
Yeah, I didn't and go.
The thing is that like I was about to get ready to go and I had to clear like I think like 10, 15 centimeters of snow already.
Like you shoveled?
I had to shovel. But by the time I was done shoveling, I was like, it's too late now. There's like no point. And you check the highways are done.
Yeah.
So yeah, Toronto weather has been acting a fool recently. But honestly, we're used to that. It's been like that for a while.
And now it's already melting because it's like 6 degrees.
Oh yeah, outside. Exactly. Literally the next day, I felt so dumb. I was like, I should have just left it because the people next to me, my neighbors, yeah. they didn't shovel, right? And the next day, our driveways looked exactly the same. So I just did back-breaking work for no reason.
It was your workout for the day.
Yeah, literally. I usually don't go to the gym on that day anyways, but I was like, yeah.
I know.
I got my steps in, everything.
It was just like, I saw that and I honestly like, so my desk doesn't face the window mm-hmm. in the wintertime because I feel like it'll just make me more depressed.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like looking outside?
No, because like my office is above the roof, mm-hmm. right? So I can't really see much anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't, my desk doesn't face the window. It's actually like the window's towards my back. Mm-hmm. So unless I like deliberately look out the window, I don't know what it looks like outside.
Yeah.
So I think it was like around 3. I got up from my desk and I went downstairs for like the first time all day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I opened it. Oh, I was checking for a package. And I was like, hold up.
What?
Why is there so much snow on the ground? Like, when did it snow? And I felt so like under the, like, I felt like I was living under a rock this mm-hmm. whole day.
You know.
Didn't realize.
Makes sense. You know.
Yeah. And then I was like, yeah, I guess I'm not going anywhere. But
yeah.
I'm glad it's melting. So.
Exactly. And I bet you like in 1 week from now, it'll be like it never happened. Like all of it will be gone. Inshallah.
Do you think we're finally going to get spring?
Well, technically, it is officially spring, so I hope so. I don't know. Inshallah. It like, you don't know about this weather in Toronto, man.
That's true.
It could be the middle of April and we might get snow.
Such bipolar weather.
Yeah. But that's also a reason people are like, why would we stay in a place? I
know.
Don't know what could be coming around the corner weather-wise, I guess.
Toronto has a lot of good things, mm-hmm. but I feel like the bad is like creeping up to like outweighing the good at this mm-hmm. point. You know, like, when I think about like, oh yeah, I'm just going to move. But like, where can I find a city that is like Toronto?
Yeah, but I do have hope. And I was actually talking to someone about this the other day too. The guy's literally like was a doctor and he was talking about how crazy the house prices are, right? Mm. But yeah, he was saying like in maybe like 3 more years or something with more development and everything. And because the house prices are so inflated.
Yeah.
The house prices don't deserve the price that they're currently at.
Yeah, they definitely
just because don't. Of the economy. Like economy, it doesn't make sense with what we have to offer as a city and as a country and everything like that. So it has no choice but to go down eventually. So, you know, we might be renting out for a while.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was talking to him too. I was like, I remember back in the day when I was like, yo, $200,000? I could just get that in cash. Like, you know, I'll live with my parents for a few more years. I'll make up the money. Maybe I'll ask some people here and there and I'll buy it all in cash and then pay those people back regularly. So I don't even have to deal with like a bank mortgage and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Right. But now it's impossible to do that.
In order to do that, you would have had to start saving with, as soon as you turned one.
Yeah, literally. I started at 15, but even then,
I'll spend a little crazy. Buy your first house at like 10.
Yeah.
And then you'd be good at that point.
But I don't know, man. But yeah, you're not here to listen to us talk about that again. We got like sidetracked here. What do we actually want to talk about?
Let me tell you guys about what I did this past weekend. Because okay. I feel like it was a nice...
What did you do this past weekend?
Like, it was such a cute, like, date idea. Mm-hmm. And no, it wasn't a date with a boy.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan. Keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank, N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply, subject to approval.
Okay, before y'all are like...
Hey, storm it down, guys. Keep your mind out the gutter.
So I went to this place called Auris Labs.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what you can do is you book like a two-hour session and mm-hmm. there are... like tens of different perfume oils,
mm-hmm.
like different scents. Basically, you have your row of like top notes, middle notes, bass notes,
mm-hmm.
and you can basically spend the first half of your appointment like smelling each and every one.
Yeah,
and then picking like your top few of like what you like. Basically, you're gonna make your own concoction to make your own perfume.
Okay.
And then once you pick out, you know, what the fragrances that you like, the workers, they're very helpful, very educated. They kind of like they look at what you've picked from the top, middle and base. Mm-hmm. And then they recommend like, oh, you know, pick this and this. And it's cool because you use a little perfume strips and you drop the oils on each one and then you can like fan them together and like
mm-hmm.
smell it. And but that's like usually like a 1-to-1 ratio, right? Because it's just one drop on each.
Yeah.
So they'll suggest like, oh, do you like more of this as your base or like this? And they kind of tell you what scent is more long lasting, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you a beaker. And I took some clips so that you like could.
It turns into a science class.
Literally. Literally. So they give you a beaker. They calculate the ratio of how much of each oil you're gonna put in there,
mm-hmm.
and then you basically make your own concoction, mix it up, and then they bottle it for you in this cute little bottle.
Yeah,
and you get to take it home,
and you get to like name it. It would be cool if you like made.
So here's the cool part.
Okay,
because I'm gonna read it to you. Based on your ingredients, so based mm-hmm. on the concoction that you come up with, they have this like profile that they create for you.
Yeah,
and they give you like a suggested name, and then it kind of like tells you about your personality based on what you've picked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, this kind of sounds like me. Okay.
They all do that though. They always sound like it's like, oh my god, that is so
no. But like, look. Okay, so I'll tell you my recipe. Okay,
mm-hmm. there are paragraphs on there. What is yeah, this? Oh my god,
it's a lot. But like, okay, so I don't even remember what was the top, middle, or base.
Yeah,
but the scents that I have in mind is warm spice, warm florals, vanilla, cashmere wood, floral blend, woody musk, orchid, sweet tobacco, black amber, and magnolia.
These are all the things you put inside there?
Yeah, the guy said 3 to 7. I was like, huh? I'm just going to keep adding more.
At that point, it's like...
Oh, and oud.
What?
I forgot to... I also added oud mm-hmm. at the end because I was like, it's missing a little something. And so...
After 7 things, you knew that it was missing something? Like, I don't even know if you can tell.
Wait.
Are you wearing it right now?
Yeah, can you smell?
Let me see. I can smell, but let me smell it.
Like, you can smell it?
No, I can smell.
Amir, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I can smell it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put it, like, for the listeners. What does it smell like to me? It smells like carpet.
What? Carpet? That's not how carpet smells.
Like, I don't know. It smells like, I don't know why I thought carpet first.
The dry down? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of one of my favorite perfumes that your sister actually put me on. What was the brand? Oh, my God.
Calvin Klein.
No, it's not Calvin Klein. It's
Is it the one that you guys got in Sweden or like?
No, not Byredo. This is like, I always say, like, when I get married, this is going to be my wedding day scent.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called?
Well, it can't really be that special. I'll find it. You can't remember the name. I'm just saying. Okay.
I swear. The dry down reminds me so much of like the initial scent of that.
The hell's a dry down?
The smell of what it smells like after it's dried down and like the scents mixed together.
Terms for that kind of stuff, dude.
I'll find the photo so that Amir can put it here. Mm-hmm. And it'll be in the description. I'll remember to put it in the description.
Okay.
But anyways, let me read you what it says.
Mm-hmm.
My perfume name is called M. I feel like it would have changed though if I added the oud, but whatever, yeah. I forgot. Amber Mystique is the name.
Amber Mystique?
Yeah, I would never actually name it. That was pretty weird. That's a suggested name. Anyways, the perfume profile says Amber Mystique.
Why are you laughing? Just because of the name? You're like, now I'm realizing how ridiculous the name is.
Yeah, at the moment I was reading it, I was like, ooh. Okay, it says it captivates your senses with an intoxicating blend of exotic warm notes that invoke a sense of mystique and allure. The perfume embodies an enchanting mix of warmth, spice, and florals topped with a hint of woody musk and sweet tobacco. Duh, they just read the ingredients. Okay. The top note of orchids and magnolia imbue a delicate softness as if flirting with your, I don't even know, what word is that?
Where?
Olfactory?
Yeah, your olfactory senses.
I have no idea what that is.
Like your orifices, your nose, you know?
Okay. With with spoken promises of hidden depth.
Mm-hmm.
As the top note fades, it reveals the hint of fragrance, the core of warm florals that creates a blanket of intoxicating sakura and freesia on a sultry summer.
What? What for freesia? The hell's a freesia?
I think it's a type of flower.
Okay.
This continues to a base of vanilla, whispering sweet nothings layered with cashmere wood, lending a sophisticated, elegant touch. A subtle nod of sweet tobacco engulfs your senses, while the earthly woody musk...
And there's like still another paragraph or like three paragraphs left.
But then it has a tar. Okay. Anyways, that's a description of it. Okay. Well, we'll skip over that. It basically says.
You know what that sounds like?
Luxurious extravagance is what this sentence.
You know what
about.
They probably did? What? They took all your things, put them in ChatGPT, and said, make a description.
No, but then the target customer.
Yeah.
The target customer. Yo, if this, I should patent this and start selling it. Cousin Connection perfume?
I bet you they have like a stipulation in that thing, like if you take this scent and try and sell it, we have all full rights to sell it ourselves or to give you a cease and desist or whatever.
You think so?
Huh?
You think so? I don't know.
Like, can you patent the smell?
It smells stronger on this wrist. Smell it.
You know what? It just reminds me of like moms? No, not moms. Like, I don't know.
Rich auntie.
Rich auntie, yeah, that's a rich Anna, rich Acosta.
Can I read you the target customer?
Yeah.
I don't think this is me, but it says, the person who wears Amber Mystique is an enigma holding a sensual primal allure. This is a confident woman, one who does not get deterred by the obstacles on her path. Her aura is one of sophistication, and she holds a certain nostalgic glamour about her, reminding you of the Hollywood sirens of the golden era. This woman is passionate and her spirit is wild, but she tames her persona with a soft grace and an allure that stokes her mystique. She is warm, drawing people close with her affable nature, but she's equally fierce, commanding the room with her effervescent presence. Her style is timeless, favoring vintage silhouettes that are subtly contemporary. Her conversations are just as intoxicating as her presence, laced with wisdom and punctuated by the occasional
dash. And you're reading this and be like, yo, that's me, girl.
Of vivacity. She is an enigma and embraces with poise and charm. Amber Mystique isn't simply a perfume. It's her signature scent, a reflection of her inherent complexity and internal elegance. She is a connoisseur of luxury and values quality above all. Just like the notes of Amber Mystique.
It's totally you, Sarah.
That's totally
every
me.
Single word of that.
Right?
I
can sense the sarcasm. Thank you, Amir.
Every conversation I see you have with people is super intoxicating and engaging.
Either way,
yeah,
it was a cool experience. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just felt like, imagine just being in that much control. Okay, I personally love perfume.
Yeah.
But, and I have my favorites, you know, like, because you change it around for whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I have my summer scents, my winter scents, my fall, spring, whatever. This is like an all year round when I really want to smell like this is like my signature scent.
Yeah.
We should go. They have scents for men, too.
I've always thought about, like, why don't we do that more? Not, like
cool
specifically.
Activities,
right? Yeah, cool activities. We used to do that. We did it once, I think, like, when? For painting. And, oh, no, we also did the, what do you call those? The little statue thing painting?
The pottery.
Yeah, the pottery.
We should do, like, actual pottery.
Exactly.
I know it looks hard, but.
Well, not everything's going to be hard the first time you do it, right? But there are so many, like, skills that we could probably, like, learn.
Yeah, this was one of those things that, like, mm-hmm. So it was Nabat's birthday over on Friday.
Yeah.
And we're obviously fasting, so rather than just doing the usual.
Where's my invite? Huh?
I didn't think you would be interested in it.
I would want, maybe I want to make myself a nice, you know,
do you
cologne.
Wear do you wear cologne perfume?
I wear it occasionally.
I've never.
Like maybe once.
On Eid?
Every month. Or like once every couple months.
Really?
Yeah, like Eid or like some type of special event. I don't
know.
Why are you saying wait? Is it really like, do guys really like constantly make sure that they are going out with like cologne on or whatever?
I mean, I'm not a guy, but I think yeah. So.
You know, I like to produce a natural musk for people. So they, you know, they don't expect anything from me when they get near me. They only, you know, can smell my natural smells. Stop making that face, okay?
I'm just kidding. You know what?
Yeah.
So, okay, when I like to suggest, because you know how usually like when we're like, hey guys, let's hang out, mm-hmm. and we're like wondering what to do?
Yeah.
I like to suggest things that I know is going to be a good time. And I honestly didn't know how this was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I know, I feel like it's safe to like recruit all of you guys, like the rest of the guys, to be like, okay, guys, let's go.
But like, is it really the same when you do it twice?
Yeah. I told you, I love perfume. I could go on a monthly basis and create new scents.
Yeah, you guys do love perfume. You guys spend money on perfume.
But say, okay. The other plus that I wanted to mention is that it's all oil-based.
Mm-hmm.
So it's alcohol-free and it lasts a long-ass time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that how oil-based stuff is? Like, it means that it's going to last a longer time? Or?
Yeah, oil-based perfume is always the more
Then why do they use alcohol?
I don't know. Let me look at that.
Yeah, that's
a good question.
Yeah. Maybe because, like, it's cheaper. It's a cheaper base than oil, because oil is probably more expensive, especially for mass producing and everything.
Oh, it acts as a carrier or solvent for the fragrance oils. So, like, perfume in general is, like, fragrance oils.
Yeah.
But to kind of bulk it, you just, they add alcohol to it so that, like, it's like, you know what a carrier oil is?
Yeah.
Like, the you can add more of that and then just add the fragrances on top. So, that's why sometimes when you spray an alcohol, like, a perfume that has alcohol, you smell the alcohol first.
Yeah.
And then the dry down is there.
Okay.
The reason why I liked it so much was because I was putting the oops, remember that?
Yeah, exactly.
I was putting the oils in the beaker myself, filled it up to the brim, and then they poured it into the jar, and I watched them do it. It was really nice.
Okay, and does it stain? Does it? Because it's oil based.
If you're wearing like lighter clothing, chiffons, like I wouldn't spray it on the clothing. I would spray it on your skin. But if you're wearing like black and stuff, it's fine.
Maybe
it's a cool.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I'm just saying in general.
Cool experience.
If you have a gang of friends, like instead of just doing the regular thing, where you're like, what are we gonna do? Let's go out to eat, right?
Yeah.
Like do something active. Like the meal doesn't have to be in, like the main
part of the hangout.
Part of the hangout, right?
Yeah.
It could be whatever you guys and you guys are all learning something together at the same time, right? Or doing something that like challenges you in some way.
I feel like we've exhausted game nights, so let's retire that for a quick second.
Yeah.
Or just put it on pause. But I think, what like to expand on what you were saying, like if you're looking for fun things to do with your friends, I would kind of categorize it as like, let's exercise a different one of our senses.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, you have the physical activity, like go to activate or I think it's called pursuit. Pursuit Lounge?
Yeah, Activate, yeah.
Is it the same thing?
Oh, Pursuit OCR, yeah.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. you could do either or. You could do like a VR thing.
Which is
thing.
Like a, Pursuit is like a parkour park, basically.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've been there, no? No. Oh, you haven't been there.
Yeah, I haven't been. Okay, I've only done Activate. Mm-hmm. But then like, you know, if you want to do like your touch, you could do pottery. Mm-hmm. If you want to do your nose, you could literally do, you know what I mean? Or like... ears, you can do like, I don't know, like a sound
eyes,
band.
VR
VR painting,
yeah,
like, you know, like do painting to exercise that creativity side of you. Mm-hmm. Or you could do like escape rooms to exercise the mental. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many different things to do, and obviously I know food brings people together. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's a cool idea,
especially during Ramadan. Like, if you're looking for something to still do as friends,
yeah,
maybe a pre-iftar kind of thing.
Yeah,
like you guys did, right? Or did you guys do it after iftar?
No, we did it before, like
before,
during,
right?
The day.
During the day. Yeah. There you go. You can do these things, or you're not surrounded by food, so you're not tempted by anything like that, or like some not tempted in that way. You're gonna eat it, but like, you know. Another topic you might bring up about talking about temptation. Why don't you talk about that?
Okay.
Oh, I should have segued that. Oh my god, that'd be a perfect segue.
Isn't that your segue?
And not purposely.
I thought you were doing that on purpose.
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, it is now.
Okay. Go ahead.
On that note, is it just me?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like your For You page or your Explore page or your timeline on Instagram, TikTok, mm-hmm. wherever, it's all food?
Mm-hmm.
And normally, I know we've talked about mukbangs in the past. I don't personally enjoy them. I don't like watching them. I don't like eating on camera. Like, I mm-hmm. feel uncomfortable. But during Ramadan,
yeah,
for some reason, it's not even just the cooking videos. It's like watching people eat. And I actually sit there and I, yeah, like mukbangs.
I no longer get those, actually.
For some reason, because yeah. I know we don't have this like restaurant in Canada. It's mm-hmm. called Raising Cane's.
Yeah, I've heard about that
or
too.
Or Raising Cane's. I don't know what it's called. Anyways, mm-hmm. all I get. And I don't like the videos. I don't interact with them. So I don't mm-hmm. know why. But they're just like these girls sitting in their cars, like taking these massive bites of fried chicken and like this crispy bread and fries.
What?
And I'm just
They must
like,
be like pushing ads hard.
Why does this look so good? But the crazy thing is that their mm-hmm. dipping sauce comes in this like cup this big.
What?
It's like, you know, those Slurpee cups or whatever yeah. they're called?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? Slurpees?
Foam cups?
Sure, those yeah. really big, like the gas station size.
Oh, that what?
Yeah, and they're like the whole thing is dipping.
They gotta
sauce.
Be. They gotta be doing that themselves. There's no way that like that's a thing that Raising Cane's gives out.
I don't know how they. I don't know where they. They all. It's the same kind of like orangey, chunky looking dipping sauce. That doesn't sound good. I know, but
if you're like eating more dipping sauce than you are the actual food, then
yeah, they like really drench it.
Nah, man, like all I'm thinking about is all those extra calories.
I know. I'm watching them. I'm like, how are you guys eating this food?
But then it looks America. So good. Yeah, I'm just saying. Okay.
Don't stereotype them. Then we have some American listeners
uh-huh.
that are probably gonna take deep offense to this.
Yeah, but they know. They really know. At the end of the day, right? I'm just saying, y'all know yourselves. Okay.
Don't shame them.
I'm not shaming them. I'm just saying, you know, excess out there is just a little bit more normalized. I'm just saying.
I don't know. Okay. I just feel like as someone who's not a fan of mukbangs, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a fan during Ramadan only.
But the thing is that...
Like, I don't get repulsed and disgusted by it, no.
But you probably do get it. You know, it's that whole thing of like, you know, when you get a Toyota or like not a Toyota, you get any car. And then you just randomly start seeing more of that car. Like, you purchased that car, you didn't really pay attention before. But now that you have it, you see it everywhere. I think it's the same thing of, like, pre-Ramadan, because you're already eating and stuff, like, you weren't really looking for it. Like, you were getting it, but it wasn't affecting you as much. But now that it's Ramadan, like, because you're not able to eat the food right now, it affects you more. So you pay attention to it more. So it might be the same. It's just your perspective on it has changed.
I don't know. I really thought whoever was working behind the algorithm was playing a sick joke on all the Muslims and like mm-hmm. force feeding more food content than normal.
But you do also notice that a lot of Muslim content creators will up their food
cooking.
Posts during
yeah.
their cooking posts during Ramadan because like they know that they're going to get more engagement because people are like, oh, I need more ideas for what I'm going to make during iftar, because most of the time people during Ramadan specifically are having like more potlucks and like more if they're hosting more iftar, so they need more ideas because maybe they want to change up what they did from the previous year.
Well, without fail, all the different variations of like the tiramisu cakes or the milk cakes.
The Lotus. I saw a video on that. It's like, season, why Lotus everything?
This season, it's now pistachio.
Is it?
Yeah.
They changed it up finally?
Pistachio and then like different variations of like tiramisu is all I've been seeing.
But honestly, Lotus is pretty good. Like, I know that it's been like a meme at this point from every like Muslim girl posting on like the food sites, Lotus, tiramisu, cake, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like it does, there's a reason for it because it does taste good. I'm just
it
saying.
It does. Yeah, yeah. No, it is. It's good. Don't get me wrong. It's just funny because like without fail at Ramadan day one, you just see like, ya Habibi, ya Shafi. You know that one.
It's all in the same three tracks, right?
And it's the whole like cake thing.
Yeah.
If you know, you know. But yeah, like I don't know. I try not to stay on there too much because I don't want to fight the temptations. Have you had like any Ramadan cravings?
The thing is that like for me, because I've always had such a strict diet to begin with, and so I see it, but it doesn't affect me as much because I know I'm not gonna make it. And if I want it, I know I can have it in a few more hours if I wanted to anyways. So like, and now because the days are shorter, it doesn't seem like, and also I'm not on social media, I'm not scrolling as much as I used to. I don't know why. I think I, for some reason, for all the people who have messaged me on like social media stuff, I'm sorry. I just haven't looked that often. But yeah, it just hasn't affected me. Even when I do see it, I'm not looking at it like that anymore. Before, maybe back in the day. But
back in the day, how long ago are you talking?
Like years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Recently, it hasn't been a thought on my mind.
That's good.
Maybe because I haven't been getting it as much.
You're being freed from the shackles of social media.
Yeah, yeah. I don't interact with those ones as much.
With the food ones?
Yeah. You know what I do interact with, though? Sorry, I'm going to pivot just for slightly. I do interact with, like, because we still see a lot of the, like, pastime content and stuff and, like, political content in general. Recently, there was a big thing on social media that came out. First off, Meta has been, they've already been wild, right? But, like, they've been banning people out here left and right. I think recently, like today or yesterday, Mu'tah has got banned on Facebook.
Yeah,
and he's currently appealing it, but it's not looking good, especially if you look at the situation with like Sean King, who we can even talk about. There was a follow-up on that one because someone I saw reacted to that, but him, he's out here talking about how like he went to Meta. And they're like, yeah, we deleted everything. When we say we delete everything, we deleted all your information. We delete all your posts. Even if we wanted to bring back your account, we wouldn't be able to because we deleted all that information. That's how badly, like, that's how much they kicked him off off the platform of Meta in general. So, but a big thing recently that people have been pointing out is that they put in a new a new setting to hide political content.
So, you know, that was the day, and I don't know if it happened to you, but everyone happened to, like, get kicked off of Instagram. Like, everyone just automatically got signed off.
Oh, really?
I wasn't on Instagram during that time.
When was that?
The day that this whole update happened.
Oh, because I don't remember that happening. I didn't have to log in any way.
No, me neither. Because we probably weren't using the app at the time, but people who were, like, actively scrolling on the app were all kicked off at the same time.
Oh.
And then when they came back, when they logged... like logged back in, that's when the update happened, and their content was now being censored or limited, anyways, the political content.
Yeah.
But people didn't realize that until, I don't even know who discovered it.
Because they hid it. Like, unfortunately, because people probably, they look through the updates, because whenever there's a new update that comes out for an app or any type of, social media, they have like the fixes that they put in there or whatever they've added, features, that kind of stuff. And I'm guessing someone saw that and immediately pointed out, and alhamdulillah, they like told people right away, like, hey guys, before you do anything, make sure you go to your settings. I even wrote it down specifically what you have to do. Let me see if I can find it here. So right now they're hiding political content, but you can take off that setting by just going to, you go to your profile page, and you know how it has those three lines at the top. And when you click, and this is on Instagram, the app, I guess. And when you click those three lines, it'll go to your settings. And in the settings, you go to, you scroll down to an area that says suggested content. I don't know if it's different on Apple or Android, but I'm assuming it's the same, right? You go down to suggested content, you click on that, and then you will see a section that says political content, and you click on that as well or tap it, and then you just make sure to change the setting from limited to not limited. So it'll basically, you'll get back to your timeline as hopefully as it should be. And honestly, like, this was bad for everyone, but it is even worse for like Canadians specifically, because we already have a lot of our content being silenced, or not silenced, but being suppressed. Not even suppressed. Yeah, it's completely silenced. Silence is the right word.
Yeah.
Because we're not even able to see it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I think I said that story when I went to America, like maybe a month ago or so. I was getting posts that I haven't seen about Palestine for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why am I seeing these now? And I realized it's because it's blocked in Canada.
Right.
And with this on top of that, it makes it even worse. Like, we're already getting censored to begin with. And all that together, just compounded on each other, isn't really the best for Canadians to begin with. So changing this will hopefully save you from that. And I'm sure that even if you do take this limit off, they'll probably still suppress certain content. They're already doing it, right? But maybe they had to do this like legally for some reason.
You really think so?
Legally? Or at least
because
maybe...
Because it's teetering onto the... Like, Meta deleting people's account, isn't that like... Isn't that going against...
Freedom of speech?
Yeah.
Technically not, because they're a private company. And there have been people fighting for that now, saying like, even though you are a private company, like, because it's been adopted by the general masses at this point, like, you kind of have to think of it as someone going out in like public, like, because if you don't have it, it's almost like you have no voice, right? So it's almost essential at this point. It's almost become an essential service, almost like internet, right? Like, at one point, internet wasn't really adopted by everyone. So there could be a case made for like being able to cut people off from the internet, right? But now for a company to say, hey, we're not going to provide you internet because we just don't like your political views, that wouldn't be accepted, because it's thought of as like a essential service at this point. Same thing with like water. Just because they disagree with the political views, they can't cut off your water because it's an essential service.
Right.
So they're saying, they're trying to make the same argument for social media now, where they're saying like, because without social media, even though there are people out here who don't use social media like that, and maybe that's why it's being getting pushed back, but they're saying generally people need social media to get their voice out there. It's needed to get the message out there.
Right.
So limiting that is almost like limiting freedom of speech, which in Canada also, we don't have freedom of speech to begin with, which is why that they're able to put in that ban. That bill, I think C-51, I forget what is the actual...
I know what you're... Yeah.
That bill, to be able to suppress or even block certain news agencies from showing their content in Canada without paying the Canadian government first. So yeah, it's a whole thing. I'm just saying. Ooh, look, that's a big ass, you know what I'm saying?
Sorry.
You literally fogged up your glasses with that yawn. This girl came into the house being like, I'm already tired, man. I'm done. Okay, your eyes are red. You're watering.
Red. That's one of like the biggest embarrassments of wearing glasses, and when your glasses fog up. I literally hate it so much.
Yo, during COVID, I felt so bad for everybody with glasses, man. If you didn't know the trick of putting the glasses, I mean, putting the mask, I think it was like over your glasses or pulling it down.
No, you put your, you have to like pinch the mask around your nose and put it under your glasses, so that when you're breathing, like your breath goes down instead of going up to fog. So
but before people figure that out, there are a lot of people with glasses struggling out here.
I would literally hold my glasses out like this. It's so annoying. It was the worst thing. I used to hate wearing
a mask.
So
glad that's over with now.
I know.
Maybe I have to bleep out that word. I don't want to get the censors on that one.
Even really?
Though, huh?
Really?
Actually, now they might be less strict on that.
Yeah.
Because people are realizing that like there's a lot of like misinformation on both sides for what was going on. So they might be more relaxed on it, honestly. I haven't seen it as much recently.
True.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, I want to know if you've seen this, because I know you said you weren't really on social media, but did you hear about the Quiet on Set documentary?
Yeah.
You did?
Because I'm not on, I don't consider like TikTok social media, because I don't post anything on there.
Neither do I.
Outside of like the Cousin Connection page. I don't comment on anything. I just like watch people's stuff. So for me, it's not really social.
Then I guess I'm not on social media either, if I'm just on TikTok.
Are you though? Are you though?
Sometimes I'm on Instagram.
Let's not all lie to ourselves here, okay?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But I don't post on Instagram.
What went on TikTok? What story are we about to bring up, Sada? Let's not lie
okay,
to ourselves.
Okay, so If you don't know what Quiet on the Set is, mm-hmm. it's basically a like documentary style documentary about what was going on to a lot of the child actors or the teen mm-hmm. actors on various Nickelodeon shows. I think one of the most like known producers, his name was Dan Schneider. And I'm going to say allegedly because there's no... Everyone's sharing their experiences, but I don't even know if there's some sort of investigation. I don't think so.
Yeah, honestly, at the end of the day, I'm going to give this opinion later, but just to preface, I feel like a lot of this is a matter of perspective and opinion. But continue. Continue.
What?
No, continue.
Okay. So, to summarize, I haven't watched it yet because I don't know if it's available in Canada, mm-hmm. but I've watched a lot of the breakdown videos or like clips of what was being said. Mm-hmm. Now, Dan Schneider is said to be one of the producers on like a couple of different popular shows, who's like this like 40-something-year-old man who was employing these like kids, basically teenagers, to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of the girls, he was doing some questionable things with them. And if they would oblige, then, you know, he would give them more lines, more spinoff opportunities. You know, mm-hmm. allegedly, Ariana Grande is one of them. Amanda Bynes, Jeanette McCurdy. Mm-hmm. I think Victoria Justice didn't cooperate. And so therefore, in the later seasons of her own show that was produced for her.
Yeah.
She didn't have as many roles, as many lines. Mm-hmm. Her music career went to tank. Meanwhile, Ariana...
Was tanked, yeah.
Well, yeah, was tanked. Her acting career went down the drain. Like, she was doing a couple things here and there, like Netflix movies, but never, mm-hmm. like, big box.
Big budget, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's very interesting to watch. And then they cut to, like, Drake Bell from Drake and Josh, mm-hmm. who I don't... It wasn't Dan Schneider. It was another guy, John Peck or something like that, mm-hmm. I think, who SA'd him. But then it's interesting because Drake Bell in the past has also been accused of some interesting behavior. Like, yeah. I don't even know if we can say the words on... I don't want to get, like, demonetized.
But he has a history of, like...
But are people...
Doing stuff to people...
Like, underage
without consent.
Kids,
yeah.
If you get what we're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like now people are almost like empathizing, like, oh, yeah, like that behavior makes sense now because it happened to him.
Mm.
And I'm kind of just like.
Like, it makes sense. Like, there has been something that people say, like, it's whatever is done to you as a child. Like, sometimes you perpetuate it to the next another child. Like, I don't know why that happens. It's not only in these cases specifically, but it comes down to, like, how you parent and, like, how you treat other people, right? Just in general, but also in these like very sick ways as well. You might perpetrate something very sick on another person because of what's been done to you as a child. So I think that's what people are trying to...
Well, that's what they're saying about like total side note. That's what they're saying about mm-hmm. Like P. Diddy did to Usher, then what Usher is doing to
Justin.
Like, oh my God. I think it was like right before Ramadan, I went through this like whole deep dive, but that's a whole other conspiracy theory for another day. We'll talk about that next time. Mm-hmm. But back to this. Yeah. Like I don't know. I thought it was really interesting to see people's perspective, where they're like humanizing him, which it's not, mm-hmm. we're not going to dehumanize him because what your actions are, if you're doing that kind of stuff, like it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I would give him a pass for it.
Well, like, the thing for me, I was like, where were the adults in this situation the whole time?
So here's the other part of that. And I realized that from watching all these mm-hmm. different, like, Quiet on Set, the stuff about Justin Bieber and P. Diddy. And, like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of parents of child actors, actresses, singers, like, just child stars in general, I feel like a lot of times they come from nothing. So when your child becomes your main source of income,
mm-hmm.
your child becomes a breadwinner, you're gonna, I
allow
feel like sometimes
things to pass.
Yeah, parents sometimes forget, like, at the end of the day, that this is a kid, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, what an adult might be like, okay, you know, like, I'll let this slide or whatever, they're letting it slide for their own child,
mm-hmm.
or they just don't care. They just don't care, and they'll let things happen to them, and they'll be like, if you complain, we're not gonna get you're not going to get paid or you're going to get fired. And then there goes our money and our opportunities, you know.
And but also the adults that were on set, because a lot of the times when these things are being shot, there's like for one of the suggested shots, I think it was like one with like Ariana Grande that I saw, which is like pouring water on herself or whatever. Like that one, there are literally 20 to 30 people who work just to make that shot happen.
Yeah.
Like there's a camera guy, there's a lighting guy, there's grip, there's the makeup, there's the prop people. All these people come together to make this thing happen. And like I know there's that whole thing of like you just want to be able to like do your job, and if you say something without the support of everyone else, you might lose yours. And but then shouldn't all those other people also get the blame for this?
I don't know if I would go that far. I think a lot of the other crew members, even if they didn't outwardly support it or they didn't necessarily like what was happening, you're right. At the end of the day, they're here to do a job, right? If the sound guy is there just and his one job is to make sure the sound quality is A1, if he speaks up and he gets fired, someone else is just going to replace his job in 2 seconds. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for him, he's probably thinking like, is it worth the risk? And also the other crew members don't necessarily always have a say of what happens on screen, right? Like they're just there to support, but they don't actually, they're not a producer. Only producers are, and I guess sometimes the actors really have a say on what happens. But I just thought it was like very messed up, especially when you realize the scenes that were created to like replicate other things or like look like other things.
That was also another thing that I found kind of questionable in like why now. It's like, okay, it would make sense if a story came out saying that the things going on behind the scenes, which there are like people saying there are weird stuff that was going on behind the scenes as well. Like if there was, if the documentary focused on that, then it would make sense. But the fact that all these things are the things that they're currently calling out are things that were caught on camera and put out on television. Like, why wasn't there so much noise made about it when it first came out? Like, if all this stuff was so suggestive at the time, should it not have been called out when it was first put on the air?
I think no, because it at the time, it wasn't seen the way that it's seen now. And I think because...
Is like, that fair, though? To, like, look back and say... Like, sure, you can say things were wrong now, but you can also say, oh, it was a different time.
No, I just think like society in general has become a lot more sensitive to different things now, right? And also
now,
yeah, because the more educated you become and the more you kind of get context of why things are done the way that they are, then you're realizing, wait, this wasn't just like an innocent kid's joke. Like this was supposed to replicate.
But it was never an innocent kid's joke, even back then when it was first put out.
But we didn't know any better because we were all kids.
No, we didn't, but the adults did.
I'm sure, but the ones who are speaking up now are the actual like actors and like.
Yeah, but what I think should be focused on more is less of what was being put out and more of what was happening behind the scenes. Well, like it all is. The weird suggested. Yeah, I know that's also a part of it. Maybe it's because I haven't watched the documentary. I need to maybe watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
But if the focus is what was being put out, then I feel like they've kind of lost the message. It should be like what was going on behind the scenes and how the kids were being exploited behind the scenes as well.
So do you know much about like Amanda Bynes and like what happened
that
with her?
Like that thing would be a very big thing to focus on, or something that should be focused on more.
So Amanda Bynes is like probably like a lot of people know her because she was so big when we were kids. And I think it was back in like 2018 or 19. She put out a tweet saying a famous producer essayed her and she ended up getting pregnant and then had to get an abortion. Allegedly, that's Dan Schneider, but no one really, like, she didn't say his name. She just kind of like tweeted it and no one really did anything about it. Also, like, you know, they view her as someone that's like mentally unstable. Even though, like, I've been getting a lot of her TikToks now. She's like trying to become a nail technician.
Yeah, but you can tell even from like her trying to become a nail technician from, I know it's kind of, you know, it's bad to judge a book by its cover, but just how she presents herself and like how she talks and everything, you can tell she's still a very scarred
100% person. She is. Yeah, it almost sounds like she's like speaking in riddles sometimes.
Sort of, yeah. And also she almost seems like she's kind of reverted back to her, like her childish self in certain parts. I don't know.
Yeah, like it's sort of like Britney Spears, where mm-hmm. like, you know, you're like, is she okay? Mm-hmm. Is she not okay? Like, I think Amanda Bynes was also under a conservatorship, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe,
I'm not sure.
But like, mm-hmm. even her past, like, I think when she was like 16, she wanted to get, is it emancipated? When you want to like, basically not be
Yeah, you want to be,
you don't want to be under your parents.
Yeah, exactly. Before you turn 18.
Yeah, so she wanted to do that and live with Dan Schneider and his wife.
Really?
Yeah.
See, so that's the stuff that should be, maybe it is focused more on in the documentary. I need to watch it. But
no, they don't address Amanda Bynes. So she's not even in the documentary.
That's a big miss right there. And the reason that I feel like they should have focused on that stuff more is because I believe Dan came out with a interview, mm-hmm. like a quote-unquote interview, even though you can clearly tell the guy was paid to do this, to basically like clear his name.
Yeah.
And because a lot of the focus online was on the material being put out, he could focus his interview on that stuff and say, you know, they should have said something like that. I didn't know it was appropriate at the time. Like, he can use that as an excuse. Say, I didn't know it was appropriate at the time. You know, this is a different time. We thought we were just making jokes, right? But if you start to grill him more on like the actual claims of what was going on behind the scenes,
yeah,
then it's harder for him to wiggle out of that.
And that was my thing. Like, that was the point that I put here, was that, like, is he only safe because the one person that could actually testify against him mm-hmm. is like seen as someone that's like mentally unwell?
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't Jeanette McCurdy also come out with stuff about him?
I think so. Mm-hmm. But so did I don't remember her name, but she was on Zoe 101. Nicole, I think her character name was Nicole. What's her real name?
The weird thing is that, like, a lot of the shows that are, like, the subject of this documentary are shows that, like, were kind of after our generation, were they not?
No.
Because I'm pretty sure that, like, iCarly and Victorious and, like, what were the different shows that were mentioned here? All that was our generation, for
sure. Drake and Josh.
Was Drake and Josh our generation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe
Zoe 101, that was our generation, too.
Oh, was Zoe 101 also a subject on that?
Yeah, this is the girl, Nicole Bristow.
Yeah, I saw. Okay.
Yeah, and she mm-hmm. had, like, she's been very vocal. Like, she goes out for mm-hmm. protests and stuff too, like mm-hmm. outside of the studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I saw her like on a pod. Like, there was a clip of her on a podcast. Yeah. Her podcast.
No, it's someone else's. But yeah, I saw that. Oh,
okay.
Too.
Yeah, where she's getting like very emotional about it too. But
yeah, so mm-hmm. it's very like. It's very interesting because it like there are so many, like, you would think like, oh, this is a thing of the past, but no, there's also that one influencer.
It's never been a thing of the past.
That like Utah influencer. I forgot what her name is, but she
the one who got her kids taken away and put in jail, right?
Yeah, because she mm-hmm. was like starving her son who just happened to like escape and go to a neighbor's house. But like that's happening, and it's weird because her content is literally like parenting advice.
Yeah.
So weird. So crazy. Yeah, I don't know.
No, that whole situation is great. It also should remind, you know, us as Muslims, you know, why should we should stay away from these kind of things, right? Because mm-hmm. unfortunately, when you mix adults with a lot of power with who are able to control kids and families and parents who are not as involved, then you're dealing with a very messy situation, especially with the people who are in these fields usually don't have the best intentions.
Well, anyone with too much power, whether they're dealing with adults or children, mm-hmm. it's never, there's that age old debate of like, does power corrupt all or whatever they mm-hmm. used to always talk about. And, you know,
I feel like a lot of this content is going to be something of the past too. Like these shows, like this is very, the reason that like we're affected or we're so interested in this is because this is from our generation, like from what we grew up with. And now we're seeing it from a different light. But I feel like the generation after us, even Gen Z, mm-hmm. they don't have this generation of shows like Drake and Josh. Or
they do. Like, we just don't watch them, so we don't know them.
Do they?
Yeah, they have their shows.
But I don't think they're watching TV as much as they are now, or that we used to. So, like, yeah, their references are going to be so different.
Yeah.
I feel like a majority of them, especially the younger kids these days, like, a lot of the references are going to come back to, like, the games they played, like Fortnite. And the YouTubers they watched, like the people who played Fortnite, because a lot of like watching them online too.
Right.
Or I can't think of any big YouTubers that are currently popular, like Kai, or these streamers recently have been popping up or are getting huge out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that will be their references, and like these type of shows are like a thing of the past now.
I mean, maybe.
Especially with live streaming too.
Yeah, but I think they're still popular in some sense. Like people definitely still watch Nickelodeon or Disney Channel or whatever. Like,
okay, I'll have
they maybe have it more on streaming rather than on cable, for example.
Okay, yeah.
Because not that many people. Like, so it's like the option to play it on cable is there.
Yeah.
But they for sure have it on like their streaming. I don't know if Nickelodeon has a streaming app.
But do kids have that show where, like, let's say there was a new episode of Zoey 101 that came out.
Mm.
The next week, like, everyone at your school or elementary school will be able to talk about it, or, like, be able to reference it in some way, right? But is there something like that for the generations now where a big thing comes out? I feel like there is one, but not like a TV show. I know it's still for adults. There are still TV shows, and even that one's kind of more sparse because everybody's like watching their own thing. Like a lot of people are talking about reality shows now, right? Mm. That's the thing that everybody kind of can come together and talk about on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
But then you might have people like me who don't really watch reality shows and are watching things like, give me a show that's really popular.
Jujutsu Kaisen, is that the one?
Like an anime.
Yeah.
Is coming out, and then. But I only have a very niche audience that I can talk to that about, or a niche group of people.
But anime has completely like blown up. Yeah. Like so many people are now into it. And just like whether it's K-dramas, K-pop, like it has expanded and reached such a wide audience now where it's almost like the norm. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. It's getting cold in here.
Can't feel my toes. But yeah, like, you know, so now it's not just limited to like the networks of Nickelodeon and Disney, for example. It's like there's global shows that they can watch from other countries.
Yeah, Korean like look at what was it called, Squid Game.
Yeah,
that was a big thing. It's a Korean show, all in Korean, not even like translated or anything.
Yeah,
well, it's translated subtitles, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that like culture around TV shows, especially for kids these days, I feel is very different. And what I meant by like they may not be talking about shows, like the kids might be talking about, oh, you see like Aiden Ross's latest stream. I feel like that. Do you know who Aiden Ross is? He's a big streamer. He's on Kick, whatever. You don't even know what Kick is.
I don't.
But yeah. Or like Kai, who's on Twitch.
I know Kai.
Yeah. So they, I feel like that's what they talk about more. Like the biggest thing, the biggest drama online recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, the internet's changing, man. It's changed the game.
It really has.
And I feel hopefully through that, because there's a more even distribution of power, and like there isn't as many gatekeepers as there used to be, then things like this won't really be happening as much.
I hope so. I think like back to the note where I was saying, you know, society as a whole is a little bit more educated in terms of boundaries and what's right and what's wrong. I'm hoping that not just the parents, but the children themselves are able to advocate for themselves, but the parents too, most importantly, because sometimes kids can get silenced, you know, even if they're the star of a show. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, inshallah, you know, things get better. And and now that with more Muslim content being put out there as well, there will be like better representations and better things to show our kids in the future, inshallah.
Yeah, right? Like they
had Miss Rachel, but I think now they have like a Miss... Something like a Miss, I mean, I don't know, someone who, like a Muslim Amina. Person. I don't know why I came with
Miss Rukaya.
Such a strong name.
It's another but, R name.
I guess so. But yeah, someone like in the Muslim realm who can make the same type of content that's geared towards babies and toddlers.
Yeah.
But is more inclined to what we would like them to see or hear and watch.
Right.
Right. So, you know. I feel like we're moving in a positive direction, inshallah.
I think so.
And things like this will fall by the wayside.
We will see. I was thinking about this yesterday. We were at the community breaking our fast. And, you know, you're catching up with people that you haven't seen since like last Ramadan. So you're like, how's life been? How's work and fasting and like the usual small talk. Yeah. And I just like, it just made me realize like I'm tired.
What?
Like working while fasting is mm-hmm. hard. It's actually, it's kind of hard because you're expected to produce the same results, mm-hmm. but you don't have like, it, and you know what, like fasting itself doesn't make you tired. It's the lack of sleep or the interrupted sleep. Sorry, yeah. I should say. And so I was thinking, like, you know what?
And what you do in that interrupted sleep.
Yeah, like, you're trying to maximize your time, too. And, like, the way that I was thinking about it, I'm like, you know, if I was just in a Muslim country, like, mm-hmm. I feel like I would really be able to truly enjoy Ramadan the way it's meant to. You know? Mm. Not where it, like, I hate the feeling of, like, work takes up a good 7, 8, 9 hours of your day. Mm-hmm. And it's so draining too. Like, nobody leaves work and they're like, wow, I'm so pumped up with energy.
Yeah. And also, you have to remember that work culture in the West is very different than work culture everywhere else in the world.
Yeah. The West is like you live to work, but mm-hmm. everywhere else is like you work to live. Mm-hmm. So work is always secondary to your life. Whereas here, work is like your primary, like people's identity is tied to their work, and that's not me. Like,
yeah,
I hate to say it. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. alhamdulillah for the opportunities. Don't get me wrong. You know, like, we're always going to be grateful for the blessings that we have. But I'm just thinking about it from the sense of, like, you know, I feel like I'm, like, battling myself to try and really up my spirituality mm-hmm. because I'm so tired and I'm, like, mentally drained from work. But I'm trying to, like, and then it made me realize, like, I have vacation time. I should just... Next year, like, maybe I'll plan it properly and just go to a Muslim country for the month.
Yeah. And I feel like as you... The thing, though, is that, like, you don't know where you're going to be next year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you could literally be married by next year, inshallah.
Hopefully I'm on mat leave. No, that's wild. No, what? That's wild. Like,
exactly. I'd love to say. Math ain't math in their side.
You're like, wait a damn minute.
Yeah. And also, we have to remember that, like, in the next few years, Ramadan is going to be very different. Like, the one thing that I realize is that the culture around Ramadan, a lot of the current culture around Ramadan was developed when Ramadan was, like, in its longest months or longest days.
Mm, like, in the summertime?
Yeah. Like, when it comes to the food spots changing their hours, people hanging out and doing all these things pre and post iftar. Mm-hmm. But then... I've been wondering this recently, like, how is this going to change in the next 5-10 years? Because soon enough, Ramadan is going to be you're going to be breaking your fast to the point where you might be stepping out of work and Maghrib's already in.
Yeah.
Right? You might be literally at work.
Maghrib comes in while Maghrib, I'm working.
Yeah,
sometimes.
While you're working.
Yeah.
So, and the culture around, like, maybe now, like, currently, we sit around as a family every night and we have iftar together, right?
Yeah.
Of course that will change, like, when eventually in the future when we're married and stuff, but let's say you're a person who's not married at the time and you do that, then are you gonna miss out on that, like, the whole culture around you sitting around at a table and doing that? It's all these things are what I always think about, things like 5-10 years in the future, how will things change as a culture, like, as a society, as a Muslim society in the West?
No, I think it's like, I've thought about it too. Mm-hmm. And no, if I'm fasting, because I was making up my days during the winter time.
Yeah.
And if I was fasting, my ass is the second that sun starts setting.
Yeah.
I am running from my computer. I'll come back to work later if I really need to. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here at my computer screen while Maghrib's coming in. Mm-hmm. No, not doing that.
But also, you have to remember, there are people who don't have that luxury to be, you know, they're not working from home. They have work in the office and then they have a commute back home,
which, yeah. And I'm thinking mm-hmm. about, like, if I when Ramadan actually happens in the winter time,
yeah,
in those times you either, like, plan your lunch break or ask your manager to accommodate and make your lunch break mm-hmm. during Maghrib time and then just break your fast and you have your time to eat then.
Yeah, that too. It depends on, also, I don't really take lunch breaks on my workplace, but still. Like, we That's we take illegal. Lunch, but it's not, we don't have, like, a certain time. We just kind of, like,
you just go whenever.
Yeah, just go whenever.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, I think that's something. I don't know. I wonder how you guys, people listening to this or even watching this, like, what are your thoughts of how things will change in 5-10 years from now when Ramadan is in a time where the even the idea of being hungry might not, or not the idea, but the feeling of being hungry might not even hit you during Ramadan anymore. How will that affect you spiritually as well, right? Because a big aspect of Ramadan is learning to
be patient.
Be patient, right? And feel for others who aren't able to eat. But like, let's say you're waking up at, what time does the sun come up during winter again? I can't remember.
Like 5 something.
Is it 5? I thought it was like 6 something.
It's like 6 o'clock.
It's pretty early. It's pretty. It's around the same time, but the time the sun sets is a lot earlier.
It's like 4:40.
Yeah. So you might not even feel hungry by that point. And then also when it comes to things like if you're working and Maghrib comes in at 4:30, 4:45, I forget the time. Especially in Canada, it's a little bit different, you know, in different places in the world. Because this is something that we have to deal with as people who live more in like a northern location. But places a little bit more south don't really have this issue because their time doesn't change as drastically. Right? So over there, it might stay the same. But in places here, it might change, especially here or even London, where it has a large Muslim population, the time changes very drastically. And yeah, so like you'll finish work, and let's say you're working in the office that day, you have an hour commute. By the time you get home, it's already Isha. And then Isha is in, and then let's say you want to pray Taraweeh, it's like now I guess you just have to shift out everything that you're doing, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just an interesting thing to think about. The little thought experiment for y'all to take ahead and think about how things might change, and let me leave a comment about it.
I don't know. Would you guys be down to just take 3-4 weeks off of work and just go fast in a Muslim country?
Yeah.
Because that way, like, you're not working, so you can really focus all of your mental strength and ability on doing different forms of worship to really maximize your rewards during that time.
Yeah. Oh, and also, if you live in a country, like, I'm pretty sure Sweden and other places around the world already deal with this aspect of, like, the time being so short during the day or the night. Because for us, you know, the days are a little bit shorter, but in places like Sweden, it's very, very short.
Yeah, in the wintertime, it's like
in
that.
In the wintertime. So, yeah, let us know what you guys think about that, too. Yeah. Or how you guys have dealt with that, or if it's changed your culture there in any way. Oh, yeah. So, to end the podcast off, we're going to have, we're going to actually do what we're supposed to be doing for the past few episodes. Yeah. And replying back to some of your comments. I'm going to let Sada take the wheel for now, and then I'll bring up what I've been able to pull up here.
Okay, so we got a couple of comments on our...
Oh my God.
Excuse me. We got a couple of comments on our last video. So I want to read you the story. So if you guys remember last week, I was telling you how I was looking for the Ramadan decorations in my house before my mom came back from Ethiopia. And I would like call her frantically because I couldn't find it. She ended up coming back to Toronto. We both looked for it together, literally couldn't find it. And I just like literally praised. I praised the prophet. And like 2 seconds later, it was right in front of me. But then you guys, some of you shared your stories of how the same thing happened to you, where you just like, whether it's like you praised the prophet, you praised Allah, or you made dua, like your dua was answered. And so I'm going to read a couple of them. So Khadija 12345. Sorry, 12354 said, speaking of the power of dua in Ramadan, today me and my sister were going to Umrah. So we left our house heading to the bus station on foot at 2 in the afternoon, and it was so hot. The bus station is 7 minutes away from us. I said a dua to Allah, oh Allah, make it easy for us. And the next minute, a taxi driver offered us a free drive to the Haram. And I was like, oh Allah, that was very fast. MashaAllah, may Allah accept your umrah. Listen.
That's a beautiful example of how just sending salams to the Prophet or praising the Prophet or Allah is...
can help you in any situation.
Oh my God. Why did my brain just go blank there for a second?
I got you though. It's okay.
My bad.
Then we have Dina, our girl Dina. She's a regular. She said, when I was living in DC, I lost my gold earring and couldn't find it for months. Even when I was moving out of my apartment and going back home to Nashville, I remember I looked for it and still couldn't find it. Went home to Nashville, and after almost a year, my family moved from one house to another within the same city. In all capitals, the day we moved, as the movers were moving our boxes into our new house, I saw something shiny on the ground outside the new house. I bent over, and it's my lost earring. Somebody explain this.
Mashallah.
So, you know, I'm sure you guys probably have more stories of, like, just things appearing when you randomly least expect it. And then we actually have some recommendations on how to stay hydrated during the day. I think this is a good tip. Let's share this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, coconut water is amazing for hydration. It's been saving me.
Yeah, I've heard about that too.
To drink a cup at Sohod to avoid migraines. You may not like the taste, but the Costco brand is a lesser evil for that.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like
have you had
on
coconut?
TikTok, I've seen that a lot. Either that or the other thing I mentioned, which is electrolytes.
Have you tried coconut water before?
Yeah, my dad loves it. He really? Always has it. Yeah.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like thick water to me.
Thick water?
Like thick, slightly sweet water.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Another suggestion said, since I've started putting a bit of lemon juice in my water for iftar and suhoor, I feel like I'm definitely more energized during my fast. So I'd say it's worth a try. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the suggestion.
Yeah, usually they say like lemon with a little bit of salt is good because you have the acidity and also the electrolytes from the salt.
Cool. Okay. That's what I have from last week's video. And then let me just...
So from that Marwa episode, we actually have, what's her name? Andli Banwar. Oh my God. Andli Banwar. Oh, I'm saying that wrong. I know I'm saying it
wrong. She's a regular. It's Anwar. Sorry.
What?
Anwar, not Banwar. Are you okay? He said Banwar.
Unleave Anwar. So. You got to put some dots in your name.
Oh my God.
So she said, this is in regards to the Marwa episode. She said, this episode made me feel heard as a woman, a mom of one who is trying to fit in running in her daily routine. And hats off for Amir for being humble. You know, I always try.
No. Finish the sentence. Finish the sentence.
He really showed a prime example of how to learn and correct yourself, even when you have a strong opinion. Oh, strong belief. I know he has mentioned earlier how he is able to admit his fault, and this time he really did. You know, I'm just a humble man out here, you know? Just trying.
I'm like, okay. I think it was genuinely like a really good conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were able to discuss and debunk certain myths about the health and fitness realm.
Mm-hmm.
And Amir, that's like very close to his heart, like near and dear, you know what I mean? Like he lives and breathes. And eats that.
Mm-hmm, literally.
So yeah, I think you exuded a lot of maturity in that episode.
You know, I'm here to listen. This is a podcast. Like, we're going to listen to it and learn from each other, okay?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so, you know, even though I still hold certain opinions and stuff, you know, I understand where she's coming from, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But another person on that same episode, 004 Peach Tea, commented, she is so well-spoken, Allahumma barik. This episode motivated me to go to the gym today.
Hey.
A top 10 episode for sure.
Wow.
Also, Calgary representative. Shout out to you. Oh, yeah, because did we mention you from Calgary? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, shout out to Peach Tea. I'm sure that's your real name there. But, yeah, so that was from the Marwa episode. And I believe this was the Risa Tisa episode. Don't quote me on that.
Potentially.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, we did.
Okay. But yeah, so this girl wrote, Zahra.m, she wrote, I am actually so hesitant to watch ATLA, which is Avatar The Last Airbender live action, because my brother, another fan, has rewatched the anime series 15 plus times. He said that is disappointing even from episode 1. And another person also told me that they made it plot focused rather than character focused like it should be, which is a lot of the same gripes that I came up with as well. And so I've resolved this to just watch it with my family so I can at least get any enjoyment of nitpicking it together. There can be good adaptations of books or movies, for sure. Harry Potter is one of them, but I'm honestly tired of rehashing animated stories into live action when it's done so much better the first time, which is another thing that I feel like a lot of people were fans of the original content whenever it's being adapted have that same type of opinion, right? It's like, just do it right? Like, there are examples of the people doing it right, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, for the most cases, it's not done right.
Yeah.
And Like, it's like, why? And then she also goes on to say, like, why squeeze into 8 episodes? And I believe, what is it called again? Oh, yeah, I finished the episode. Or no, sorry. So I actually finished the what happened? What happened?
I'm wearing my abaya inside out.
They can't tell. It's all good.
I was like, why does it?
They won't be able to tell. Don't worry about that. Well, now they will because he called it out. but yeah,
sorry.
I'm gonna try and go back. But at the end, she says, at the end of her rant, she says, Avatar The Last Airbender is dear to my heart, so I'm passionate about this, and I love hearing y'all talk about things you're passionate about as well. Mm. And now that I've heard about the premise of Dune, I've got to tackle that too. And a lot of the comments said that, like, now off of how Muir explained Dune 2, like, now I just have to watch it, right? And hopefully you guys did, because it was a really good movie.
If you did, let us know your thoughts in the comments. I haven't watched it yet, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's Ramadan now, so I'm just saying, okay? But yeah, for sure, like, after finishing all 8 episodes, because I think I was on, like, episode 5 when I talked about it on the thing.
Right.
In my eyes, it didn't get much better. Like, it actually, like, it got worse. I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Really?
It wasn't horrible. But I wouldn't say it was amazing or very good. Okay, so that's my final review on it. I'm just saying the CGI, all that stuff didn't get any better. You can tell, like, not a lot of it is shot on location. Almost none of it is shot on location. You can tell it just seems cheap, and it seems like it's almost like fan made. I feel like a fan could have made a similar. Not saying, like, that's why fan-made content is good, but whenever you have so much money behind it, you feel like you can be made much better, right? But in this case, it just feels like it was made on a very, like, shoestring budget when really it had, like, hundreds of millions of dollars behind it.
Dang.
Yeah. Okay, and just a quick couple more. So one more comment I want to say before we end the podcast here. There's one from the Black History episode that we made a couple weeks ago, and... this one's from Jeremy Davis. He said, wow, so much to be said. I got a little emotional hearing y'all discuss Black history, Black Muslim history. And there are so many parallels between old black church traditions and Islam. I've been blessed to be able to trace my maternal line to the Fulani Muslims of Guinea and the Tuareg of Niger. Listening to the experiences of some of the Muslim family members, it sucks that it's so much stigma towards specifically African-American Muslims, even from African Muslims, unfortunately, especially when many of us descend from Muslims who desired to hold their faith. So that's something to keep in mind. Like, these people, the Black American Muslims or African-American Muslims, like, they come from a line of generations who literally fought to the death to keep their faith.
Right.
So that should be respected and kept in mind when you're speaking to a lot of these people, especially on how we treat each other in general, right?
Right.
Like, it's all about perspective. So that's something I also wanted to highlight there. But with that said, I feel like it's a good place to end the episode.
Yeah. Thank you guys for always, you know, leaving such insightful comments. We genuinely do enjoy reading your thoughts, whether you're, you know, complimenting the episode or you're just sharing an experience. Like, we always love hearing from you guys. So please continue to do so. Let us know what you're thinking. We love hearing from you, whether it's in the comments on YouTube or, you know, DMs on Instagram. Like, we do read them all or try to anyways. Sometimes we might slack, but we do get to them all eventually. Yeah. So, make sure you guys continue to leave us comments and
follow us on all those platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Cousin Connection Pod, YouTube. Yeah. Again, remember to subscribe and comment down there on any of the topics where we spoke about today, what your opinions are, all those things. And did I say subscribe already? Yes, I did. But subscribe again.
All right.
Yeah.
We will see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This just in, Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime.
Deal extended till January 17th.
See Home Club for details.